Everybody, welcome in. It is episode number 4 of The Barbecue Hound with Patrick Netherton. I'm the aforementioned Patrick Netherton. Super excited to have you with us. Big thanks to everyone who has been liking our social media, our posts, YouTube page, all of our podcast platforms. Please continue to do so. Share it out with your friends. Subscribe wherever you watch or listen to this podcast. We greatly appreciate it. Got some good episodes coming up for you. In this one, we're going to talk with the guy who finished the Texas Monthly Top 50 list from 2025 first. Turns out it's the third time in a row that he has actually finished the list, but this one he finished first, and we'll talk about all of that. What went down? Was he able to get his prizes from Texas Monthly? All of that is a man named Brett Kawada, who is an accounting professor from California, of all places. So how did an accounting professor from California become the first guy to finish the Texas Monthly Top 50 list? That is what we're going to find out next. After that, we're going to have The Smoke, where we take your listener and viewer comments and questions. And we have a really funny story from Reddit, where we're trying to get the word out about the show. We're giving away some merchandise. We have shirts that we're giving away. And we had some pretty amusing comments on the Reddit thread. Plus, we've got a couple of questions and comments on last week's interview when we talked to the guys from Sunbird Barbecue, Brian Bingham and Dave Segovia. So coming up now, it is Brett Kawada, the accounting professor from California, who was the first man to complete the Texas Monthly Top 50 list. We are joined now by the first man to complete the top 50 Texas Monthly passport. He got to all 50 places. He is Brett Kawada. Amazingly enough, not a Texan, not a guy who, you know, you think of one of these native Texans, a guy in Houston or Dallas or, you know, Austin, somewhere being the first guy to do this. No, it's a guy from California by way of Hawaii. First of all, Brett, how are you, man? Are you okay? Did you survive getting the top 50 taken care of?
I'm here. I have survived. I haven't gone to the doctor in a while, so I kind of going to probably steer clear for at least a month or so. Dude, what are you doing, right, with your body? I've been joking around about this, but it's not a joke. Like, I really haven't been hungry since, like, late June. I wake up in the morning, I'm not hungry. It's almost lunch here in past lunch here in California now. I've eaten a very small thing this morning. I'm not hungry, so I think it'll come back in time, of course. But I did eat a lot in the last few weeks.
Before we get into the journey, let's find out about you a little bit. Native Hawaiian in California as a professor. Tell me a little bit about who you are, and maybe kind of what led you into deciding that maybe you wanted to get into barbecue a little bit.
Born and raised in Hawaii, went to school out there for college, undergrad, master's degree. Worked as a CPA for one of the big four public accounting firms for a while. Decided it was always in the back of my mind, decided I eventually want to pursue a PhD. So that's what I did eventually. So I moved from Hawaii in 2009 and I did my PhD at the University of Missouri. And then my first job out of graduating from that doctoral program was out here in California in San Diego. As far as barbecue goes, I've always had a like of it. Granted, I grew up in, like I said, born and raised in Hawaii. I'm sadly not super young anymore, so it was a little bit of a go. And, it's spread out as far as the different styles of barbecue across the nation. But back when I was in, like, high school and college and whatever, it was pretty much big chain restaurants, Tony Roma's and Ruby Tuesdays and those types of places. But I still liked eating ribs, of course, right? And then, of course, I moved to Missouri. So Missouri is one of the big barbecue centers. I really enjoyed going to both St. Louis and Kansas City a lot from, quick road trips to Columbia. And then eventually, I think it was 2012, I saw the Austin episode of Anthony Bourdain's No Reservation Show, or was it Parks? Okay. I don't remember. And I think he was with Daniel Vaughn, and they made a trip to Franklin when it was still kind of a fledgling joint. And I think they had just transitioned from the trailer to the brick and mortar. And my eyes were just popping out of my head. I'm like, whoa, that looks incredible. And I, that was whenever that came out, but I'm not even joking. I was thinking about it for like months. I was like, oh, that looks so amazing. And then finally during my spring break that year, I made a trip down, and it just blew my mind. And I was in from there. And yeah, so, and then whenever I could, I like to travel a lot too, both domestically and internationally. So when I was in Texas, I tried to pop into barbecue spots and this and that. And then in 2017, I went to a Dallas Cowboys game and I wanted to check out some new spots I haven't been to. So I went there and then I got made aware of the passport. And I was like, what's this all about? Why not? I'll get my one stamp. It was whatever. I didn't even cross my mind that I was going to give it a go. And then, maybe later in the year, I was visiting Houston, and I at that point I had maybe like 8 or 10 stamps, and then I thought in my crazy brain, oh, maybe I will actually try to do this, and I actually did, and so I closed it out March 2018, my spring break that year from two classes, and
So you did all 50 in 17 as well.
17, 18. I got into it late.
Yeah.
So this is when Yeti sponsored it. I did not get every single promotional item because some of them had long gone. Like some of them, and they had a lot more categories back then, like Four Corners of Texas and top 10 brisket things. So, but I was one of the last 10 to get the big thing when you finish all 50. So I think they told me I was like number 490 something or whatever. So yeah, and then I was into it from there. And then of course I was excited for the next one, but the universe had other plans and COVID happened and it started a little later, but I still was able to get it done. And it's been fun. And I was really anticipating this one. And yeah, I it came during a summer this time when I was fully aware of it. And I don't have class in the summer, so I have a lot of flexibility in my work. I have some things to do, but nothing pressing. And I decided to try to be efficient about it. And I was in check. I flew into Austin. I was in Austin for 3 weeks, basically. Or I flew in Austin. I was in Texas for 3 weeks initially. And I did most things around the state. And I planned a separate trip flying into the west side of the state because it's so much farther.
Did you have like an Excel spreadsheet where you attacked like your, here, I'm going to get these or whatever?
I'm
Kinda,
guessing.
how did you plan it out?
I'm guessing that's a natural question given my accounting background. So
Yeah, sure.
I sound like a complete nerd, but yes, I did make a spreadsheet and I showed some of
Perfect.
my arguments. Dude, check this out. They're like, all right, take it easy, dude. Right? So I did try to map it out and I had it by regions, and this sounds really nerdy, but I had it by regions and tabs by regions like DFW and Houston and the coastline and the South and Austin, whatever. So, and then I tried to map out like the days they're open, the times they're open, which ones, and then this is just the facts given to you, but like also from what I know or what I've heard or people tell me, like what sells out faster, what's a reasonable thing to do in a day. And I was largely doing, I used to play sports in high school too, so two a days. I was doing
Yep.
two, yeah, like football, right?
Yep.
Like
Kind of
practice, I was
have
doing
to.
two a days barbecue, and that was pretty hard solo sometimes because, as you probably know, and a lot of people know, like, so exciting when you go, especially to a new place. It's hard to not. I want that. Oh, Jesus, I'm
Yeah.
gonna eat
You
all
want the sampler
this stuff.
platter. You want a little bit
Yeah,
of
but at the same
everything.
time, if you're going solo, it's like that's like 4 days of food, man. What are you doing,
Yeah.
right? So yeah, so that's a challenge. And there were days I did three, but that was usually when I was eating with others too, so it was a little helpful.
Yeah, it that's the other thing is, just what can you eat, right? Because
Yeah.
I did it, I went to San Antonio a few weeks ago and I was hitting Reese Brothers and 2M and even went over and went ahead and got burnt bean because it was in Seguin right outside of San Antonio. And then I turned around and hit another spot on the way back in and I'm like, I don't know what I just ate a metric ton at Burnt
Yeah.
Bean. Like, am I going to turn around? What am I going to eat at 2M? That's the thing that's so interesting to me about the list and trying to get it done is when there's multiple places in one city or in one area. How do you? We had Daniel Vaughn on, the proprietor of the list. He was on a couple of weeks ago, and I said, you take pictures and you've got these massive platters of food. I'm like, what are you actually eating? He's like, oh, you eat a slice of brisket here and a rib there, and you call it good. But you're leaving so much food on the platter. How did you go about trying to sort of budget financially, but also budget in terms of gastronomically what you were going to be able to get done in a day?
I mean, I try to get the things that, especially if they're known for something, or if there's a special of the day that they don't have often that interests me a lot. Try to get Trinity's most of the time, but I think of everything, all the meats, I get sausaged out the first of all the main things, right? So, but one thing about smoked meats is, generally speaking, is a lot, I mean, you don't want to keep it in a super hot car or exposed or whatever, but they hold pretty well because of the smoking process, I feel like. So I had a soft cooler with me. I had some relatively pretty airtight containers I could put things into. I try to wrap them in foil and butcher paper if the joints offer that, and they hold well. I definitely didn't go out to dinner ever, pretty much. I had dinner all the time ready to go. I had late night eats if you had the munchies after a couple of ready to go. All the meats are pretty good in the morning for a small breakfast before you start your day. So I was staying at some hotels, they had free breakfast. I didn't eat too much of that, of course, but they would have eggs, so I'd get eggs, and I'd have some brisket and sausage with my eggs, maybe with my coffee in the morning and stuff like that, and try to just map it out that way. Try not to go too overboard at any given point.
So what were maybe the hardest places to get to? Obviously there's some on the border. Lubbock is kind of out there, Luckily this year there's not really any in El Paso or out in that direction, like there have been in years past. What was the most difficult to get to?
It's funny. Some of my Texas living resident friends are like, yes, no El Paso. That's another 6 hours of driving.
Yeah, whatever. Exactly.
Thank God. Yeah. I tried to knock some of the hard, quote unquote, hard ones out early. So going into Austin, I had some rental car issues, which led to some change of plans initially right off the bat, but it was my plan to go to the South fast. So I drove down to the South. I drove down on like a Thursday, I want to say, Thursday afternoon after I ate. I drove down there, stayed there overnight, and then I went to both GW's and Teddy's on that Friday before driving back up and trying to post up near Lexington for snows on that Saturday. So that was a really difficult 2 days with a lot of driving. I mean, I drove the F out of that rental car. They were probably like, what are you doing? Like, you said unlimited miles, man. Sorry.
So yeah, but it smelled delicious when you turned it back in.
We'll see. I don't know about that. But I was in it for 3 weeks. But I put like 5,400 miles on that car in 3 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah, that's not my car.
That's so crazy.
Yeah. So
the other thing, right? Is having, you mentioned having to go to Snow's in Lexington, and it's only open on Saturdays.
Yeah.
So many barbecue places aren't open on Mondays. I know you posted about Leroy and Lewis, which is open on a Monday, which is nice. Yep. But so many of them are not open Mondays, often Monday, Tuesday. Some of them aren't open on Sunday, Monday. It's, I got to imagine that's where the accounting Excel spreadsheet came in handy to make sure that you were not going to waste your time.
I did try to be efficient about it, like I've been saying to people that ask me how I got it done. Yeah, just try to... you don't want to go like here and here across the state in a given day. That's just too much, right? So what's open on Mondays? Hardly any, but some are. I think Slow Bone in Dallas is open on a Monday. Mm-hmm. L&L in Austin's open on a Monday. I went twice to L&L because I there was no way I could sample everything I wanted to eat there in one sitting, not even close. So I went for barbecue one day and cheeseburgers and small dishes another day. And then I think some are open on Tuesdays. Definitely if for summer, for example, like Franklin, I've been there a bunch of times, so it's great, but it's not new to me. I wasn't really trying, if possible, to wait in the 5-6 hour line or whatever it may be. Definitely the most popular as far as out of towners. So it's going to always have these massive like visitor crowds, mostly than local crowds. So I went to that on a Tuesday at like 1 o'clock and just saw what I could get, and things ran out, but I got brisket and a pie and I was good to go.
Yeah, well, and some of them, that's what I've always said. If it's a place I've been before, then I'm not, especially now where I'm kind of on a mission to try to get as many stamps as I can. I've got, got some time now. I've always said, look, if it's a place I've been before, I'm not too worried about making sure I eat a little bit of everything. I'm just kind of getting my stamp.
Yeah. And unless it's somewhere you've been before, and you're like, oh, that thing, I gotta get that.
Oh, no, of course. Of course. Yeah. No, there's every place has something you've got to get. It's just you don't have to get all of it.
Yeah.
That's the main thing. This is obviously a sensitive question, so answer it however you like. Financially, how was this? Because the prices of barbecue are sky high, they're crazy.
Yeah,
it's I can't imagine. I mean, even if you just spent $20 at every place, you're still looking at a grand just to do this list, and you're not spending $20 at every place. So, financially, how did you have to save up some cash? Like, what were you doing to get ready for that?
I think I'm comfortable enough to be able to do things and not go insane, as long as I don't go insane about it. I did teach a couple extra classes this past semester. So I mean, that wasn't the plan to like, I'm teaching a couple extra classes. Like, I need 50 barbecue restaurants. No, but like I did that. So I had that in reserve. Also, like, that's pretty much all I was eating for like 3 weeks, at least during my travels. So like that just kind of alleviate, or, you know, takes the place of normal things I would eat on a day-to-day basis. I do what I got to eat when I'm at home too. And some of the things I actually like to eat are actually even more expensive than barbecue, like sushi and stuff. That's my favorite.
Right, right.
In Japanese. So yeah. So like that's super expensive. So, you know, it's definitely gotten a lot pricier, but it's not completely out of reach. Right?
Well, it helps that you're in a high cost of living place anyway. In California.
It.
So it's not like Texas barbecue is out of the realm of California dining or anything.
No. Although, like, yo, even in some of the great places in Southern California, with our Texas styles, like Moose and Heritage, you'll see some California prices built into that. So it's even more than what you see in Texas. Yeah.
Was there an aha moment for you? What was your aha moment when it was like, hey, I want to get involved in this barbecue world? Like, what was the moment where the lightning struck?
I'm just an eater, I guess, so to say. I don't really like.
I've seen your Instagram. You are a traveler and an eater. Which, by the way, you have the off season I want to have, which is traveling and eating. Like, I got to give you credit for that.
Yeah, I have a lot of flexibility in my career and life, etc. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just really enjoy it. And like I said, after I got wind of where barbecue in Texas is going, I'd actually never had it full on until like 2013, and. Then after my first bite of, you know, the way brisket's done now, it's like my eyes were rolling in the back of my head, like, wow. So I was in after that. And it's just fun. And especially the first time I did the passport, it's, I don't know, I'm a Hawaii guy. So it's like seeing America in a sense, right? I drove around the state and I went to little towns and, you know, people are generally speaking super nice, no matter where you come from, right? As long as you try to reciprocate as much as possible. So just that the whole experience of that, those things as well, besides the actual eating, was really fun. And
well, that's one of the cool things about barbecue. And one of the reasons why I wanted to do this podcast is because the community around it is so nice, you know. And how many of the pit masters and people did you get to meet and tell your story? I've got to imagine you got to
here and there
to chat with quite a few.
I did when, you know, especially when they weren't busy, but like, you know, a lot of them came up to me and talked, and I try not to be too much of a blowhard and be like, well, I'm from California. Look at me. And I'm just here to eat and hang out and enjoy their work and their success, you know? So, but now and then, you know, and then some of them, like, they have recognized me in the past. Cause like, I, for example, like, it's relatively new, but I've gone to Rosemeyer like 3 or 4 times in spring, north of Houston. And those guys are super cool. And one of the dudes just kind of recognizes me, like, man, how you doing? And you're back. I was like, yeah, because I love their food, you know. So yeah, it's cool. And just, you know, just talking to people, chatting. I know people sometimes talk about the lines part of the experience. I'm like, well, I'd rather not wait if I don't have to.
Right?
But,
you
do meet people in line, and you know, some of the friends I've made over the travel, the barbecue travels, have become actual friends. So shout out to Dr. Tom Nguyen, Hito Toshi on Instagram, whatever. Yeah, he just started following me. I reciprocated like a bunch of years ago. And then right before COVID, actually in 2019, I was like, dude, you want to just go eat next time I'm in Houston? He said, yeah. And then now every time I'm in town, we definitely get a meal or so. And then, yeah, he's pretty hardcore. So he joined me for about maybe 8 of the spots, 10 of the spots, something like that, over the course of the last month and a half.
Yeah, if you're a barbecue person, you don't know who Hiratoshi is, you're probably not following.
It's funny, he's actually not Japanese, because it's a Japanese Instagram handle. So he thought I might be offended. I'm like, dude, I don't care. He thought I might be offended. I'm like, he's appropriating the code. I mean, no, whatever. Yeah.
No, they look. And again, everybody that's in barbecue, you know, we love the culture. So did you take notes? Did you rank things on your own? Were you just enjoying the experience? Were you?
Yeah. I think the whole like food photos, you know, even on an amateur basis, like culture. For me, I'm getting old, it's my memory, not the what it used to be. So like, it helps me go back in time. Oh yeah, that thing. So like, you know, even like, I'm not trying to be some kind of influencer or anything. It's just for me to curate life in a sense. And oh, what did I eat at blank spot 4 years ago? I don't remember, right? Or I completely don't remember. So I can when I see the picture, I'm like, oh yeah, I remember that thing. Whoa, let's get that again, right? And see what else they might have. But I'm definitely getting this, this, and this when I go to blank spot. As far as yeah, I don't know. I think the team over at Texas Money did a pretty good job of ranking, especially the top 10 for the most part. I had some new favorites. I really love Barb's and Lockhart. I loved it, loved it, loved it. I really like Rosemeyer, like I mentioned, and I really liked Barre and Montgomery. Some of those guys, I think, used to work somewhere else, and they started following me on socials, and I reciprocated, and we got to meet finally in person, sat at our table for a long time, shoot the S, talk about stuff, barbecue and life. Yeah. You know?
Great. And again, that's the cool thing. Like, I went to Brendan's in Nacogdoches. I had not been there before, and Brendan came out and sat down, and we chatted for a while. Like, I met one of the guys that runs Goldie's that was number one on the last list. You know, that's what I love about this community is people are they're so friendly. They're so willing to chat. They just love what they do. And that's the thing, right? Like, you have to have a passion for this or else you're not in it.
It's a business in the end, but it's also a labor of love, because God, making that stuff is very time consuming and effort consuming. And it's definitely a labor of love. And I completely respect all the people that are involved and what they do and their work.
Did you have any region, you know, one of the true battles in Texas barbecue is kind of regional, right? Dallas, Fort Worth people are really making a move. Austin has always been kind of the place. Houston has had a very strong community of barbecue. Did you notice any regionality or anything when you were in various spots that, Dallas really seemed on the up and up versus Houston versus Austin, et cetera?
Sometimes, but I think it's largely more on a much more individual basis. As far as a pitmaster goes, they all have their own styles, and you know, it's gotten a lot more diverse. So a lot of their different backgrounds. And like, for example, and I had all these like goofy themes. Like, so for example, one day I was out on the Fort Worth side on a Sunday, and I called it Halal Sunday because I went to Sabar and Yearbees. No pork whatsoever, which was fine. And those kind of things. So they have their own styles, right? It's not really a Dallas thing. It's more a halal thing, for example. And there's Latino pitmasters. There's some Asian pitmasters. They do different kinds of stuff. So it's more on an individual basis from what I experience rather than a regional thing. Although sometimes in certain regions, they have certain things a lot more.
Did you best bite? You know, were there certain things that like just stuck in your head, even not having to look back and you were just like, man, that's one of the, even, you know, some places it's sides, some places it's obviously brisket or ribs. What were kind of some of the best bites that stuck in your brain?
So, I mean, just to think about some of the spots I mentioned outside the top 10, even like I went to Barre on a Sunday, and that's ribeye Sunday. Oh my God. Yeah.
That sounds ridiculous.
And their cornbread pudding, which is kind of like a side, but it's really more of a dessert because it's like kind of like chocolate laced a little bit at the top. Oh, that was amazing. I love the ice cream at Rosemeyer. Who doesn't want ice cream after you're done, right? Their ice cream is great. Yeah, their fideo is great. Their side fideo is great. Barb sides of the pork stew and the green spaghetti and all that stuff, and just little touches like their like lime zest on the ribs that made a huge difference in the flavor. Fantastic stuff. But then there's so many really all over the place.
Did you have any? We're not naming names, but did you have any experiences that weren't good?
Not really.
Okay,
not really, to be honest. I mean, now and then something could have been a little less dry, but. Never know, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
that's the thing, right? Like trying to judge a place once is really the hardest thing. And I tell people all the time, if you go to a place once, especially a barbecue place where they're cooking everything every day, don't judge them on one visit, right? And so if you go in and something's overcooked or undercooked or whatever, just understand it may have been something that having to do with that day and you know, go back and try it again. But I'll be honest, the last list, I visited a couple places and I was like, I'm not sure how these guys are top 50. Like, this is just,
yeah, I think that happens sometimes, or at least in my thought process here and there, where in the past I felt that here and there. And I thought maybe there was some like diplomacy going on where we want some representation at all different kind of areas of the state. But I mean, I definitely agree with the team at TM that like the bar just keeps getting raised and raised, so it's pretty hard to even make the 100 at this point, you know. Like, even some places that don't make the 100, that place is pretty good. I don't know what happened. Yeah. Right? yeah
there's some traditional favorites, especially in the northeast corner, kind of over by me, but that weren't represented on either the 50 or the honorable mention 50 that I would put in a top 50 list anytime, any day of the week. Just so happens that two or three days that the judges visited, it wasn't their best. And that's tough.
Yeah. I mean, I won't use too much colorful language on a recorded podcast, but some people are just all about the 50, right? And I was doing that just because for efficiency purposes, but there's a lot of places on the 50 that I really like. And, just never know what's going to fall in, fall out, et cetera. But that's kind of the beauty of it all, is from a personal perspective where, it's not on the 50 or the 100, but you love it. So support it. Yeah.
Absolutely. By the way, are you getting your prizes for being number one?
Yeah, it's funny. I didn't do it right away because I finished on a Saturday. Yeah. And then that was like last week, Saturday. I finished a couple Saturdays ago, and I didn't send all my stuff in until I got back to California on that Monday morning when I woke up that morning. I got back on a Sunday night, and I sent in a thing and just an inquiry. So I go on the site where they have a link to the redemption, or they tell you where to redeem it at. And I go on and I was like, I don't see anything on how to redeem this. And granted, last time I did it kind of deep into the overall process or whatever. So it was all up and going. So I was like, I just sent the staff over at Texas Monthly, "Hey, what's going on? Maybe it's just me. I'm being a moron, but I didn't see how to submit this thing. I thought it was just input your information, upload your pictures, and that's good." And then somebody called me the next day. It's like, "Dude, it wasn't even up yet because we didn't."
no one can possibly be finished yet.
So they were like, "Oh, I guess thanks for helping us move our ass a little bit." "Well, I'm not trying to rush you at all. I'm not in a rush or whatever." But I mean, it's funny. Some of the people were like, or my friends at least, and back in Hawaii or here in California, "You did all that for the prizes?" Even two iterations of the passport ago when it was Yeti. Sorry, my neighbors can be loud sometimes. I did it for the love. I always tell them, if I want to buy a Yeti Tundra, I can just spend $300 and it'd be a lot cheaper, right? But I did enjoyed it. This time around, though, I'm not sure how long it's going to take, but it's actually useful because they're giving out those Coke mini fridges, and I could definitely use a fridge for my office.
See, there you go.
I'll leave it at this. I can put whatever I want in the fridge and not be judged.
Yeah. And by the way,
or reprimanded by HR.
Hey, look, you can go and enjoy your $3,000 fridge that's heading your way to. Hey, what was the first and last place that you went? I'm kind of curious.
I mentioned my rental car snafu that happened. What happened was, I was supposed to get, I specifically signed up for some kind of relatively compact car. It's just me most of the time. I'm not a big guy. I'm going to be driving a ton, so I'd rather not spend a crazy amount on gas more than needed. Yep. I arrived from San Diego into Austin at 11 something at night. And if you've ever traveled, sometimes even if you say, "I want this kind of car, blah, blah, blah." "Oh, we have minivans and Ford F-150s. I'm like, "I don't want to drive that thing around for 3.5 weeks. Right. No, so they're like, I'm like, "What do you want me to do?" I said, "I want this car. I paid for this specific car." They're like, "Well, I can wait till the morning and see what's up." And I'm like, "Well, that's in 6 hours. It's going to take me 2 hours to check the hotel. I got to wake up 2 hours later. What's the point of that?" So I actually crashed in the rental car facility at the Austin airport on a hard bench I tried to sleep. Emphasis on the try, because it was not sleeping. So I got my car in the morning. So that changed my plans a little bit. So what I did was, my first spot was at Brisket's because it was a breakfast thing. Briskets as in biscuits, right?
Right.
So so that was my first stop. I got a coffee, I got a couple sandwiches, and I hit the road. Yeah.
And you got they finally gave you the correct car?
Yeah, I got a Nissan Versa, which is much
okay. More I was gonna say, or did you end up doing the whole list in an F-150? Because that's
no. Plus
that would be insanity.
Yeah, there's not as much kind of almost cabin space to keep my stuff, and including the food, which I want to keep in air conditioning, even when you're going from place to place, right? Yeah.
All right. So where'd you finish?
My last two stops were in Fort Worth on that a couple Saturdays ago. My friend Tom and I met at Dane's. Mm-hmm. Said he wanted to be there for my end. So, and then my last one was Panther City.
He wanted to be there for your end? Literally the end of your life?
Hopefully
the cholesterol finally got you.
I'm okay. I'm still kicking. I did try to work out a lot more than I normally do during this process. So I was getting my miles in on the treadmill every other day. just to kind of
did the weather cooperate? Because you were in line a few times, I know.
Largely, so. For the most part, I'm not a native Texan, obviously, but a lot of people were like, you know, my friends and et cetera, they were saying, yeah, I was like, frick, it's hot. They're like, no, you're actually kind of lucky. It's usually way hotter. I'm like, well, yeah. Okay, I'll take it. Yeah.
Me and my buddy stood in line for burnt bean. It was like 85, and yeah, if it was 95, we would have died.
The thing about burnt bean too, and this is all random, of course, and, you know, but the way their restaurant is situated, the sun hits you in the morning in the line part. So mm-hmm. on the contrary, like for example, Interstellar in Austin, it's the opposite. The sun is up behind the building in the morning. So they have you know, kind of a decent size, you know, tall enough strip mall location-ish. And they have, I think there's some canopies a little bit. So you're largely in the shade there, which makes a humongous difference.
Yeah, it's, did you travel with a chair, by the way?
So I bought one at Walmart. I never used it, so I returned it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. I wish I had a chair when we were at Burnt Bean, I can tell you that.
Certain things. I mean, it depends, you know, like most people that, you know, you meet even in line next year are pretty cool. So like, if I need to just take a walk because I'm just tired of standing here, as I just say, I'm right back there. I have no problem. Yeah.
Yeah. We had a family that was standing in front of us. It was a lady and I think two guys and about three or four kids. And we're all standing. We're at Burnt Bean. So we're down the block and halfway down the next block around the corner. Uh-huh. And this lady is like, hey, we're going to go because the kids are real restless and we're going to try to come back. And as we kept going up the line, I'm like, the closer we get, the less likely I'm going to be able to keep a spot for you.
Yeah.
And then we hit the door and I'm like, this is when she's going to show up with the kids, like as we're at the door. And I'm going to have to be like, no, like, I, you know, I didn't know what to do. But as it turns out, they never came back. So we
were you in front of them or behind them?
I was right behind them. They were
behind them. OK, because I was like, you asked the person behind you, not in front of you. The person in front of you.
No, we were the person. They were right ahead of us. But man, I just kept like everybody behind us who didn't even know they were there. I was like, they're going to walk up to the door while we're standing at the door. I was like, I definitely don't want to do that.
Yeah.
So now that you've done it, how would you rate or would you encourage, discourage, tell someone, hey, make that journey, go get those top 50? You know, what after having this kind of journey, would you tell others to partake in the same journey as you?
I mean, if you're into it, you're into it. And if you're not, you're not. Right. So I'm, like I said, I'm very fortunate. I have a lot of life flexibilities, not many people do. So it's a lot more of a task. I'm not married. I don't have any kids. So that's one thing. A flexible work situation in the summer, that's another thing, right? Thankfully, I have somewhat of the means to do it. So all those factors play in, but, you know, life's short, do what you want to do, right? So if you're into it, you'll have a lot of fun doing it.
And you have terrific Excel skills. So you're already ahead of the game. Yeah. Look, if I need to figure out how to put multiply two cells together, I know the guy.
Oh, I can do that. Call. Yeah, but there wasn't any like pivot tables or any of that stuff in this thing. Yeah, yeah.
So, did you finish the book from the last one? Because I know you said you finished the one 17-18. Did you finish the one?
Yeah,
21.
My third.
So this
one,
is your third in a row.
Third one. Yeah.
That's amazing, dude. That's seriously that is fantastic and incredibly fascinating, especially for a guy from California. And the coolest part is for me, you know, we talk about the sort of community of barbecue. The coolest part for me is you come to Texas and then you get to meet people and they become friends. And you like, that's to me the neatest part of everything is it's cool. You get to go do the top 50, but it's also really, really awesome that you get to make friends out of this at the same time.
Yeah, for sure. And like I said, everyone's super nice for the most part. So it's not that hard to do.
All right. So one place I got to visit. Give me one place. You don't necessarily be your number one, but the one place. Now, you talked about barbs a lot. I know you like them.
Yeah, already. I really enjoyed that. I got lucky. The line wasn't too insane that day for some reason on a Sunday. It's only Saturday, Sunday. Yeah. So,
yeah.
Yeah, that was really good. Yeah. Like I said, I think the magazine does a pretty good job of the top 10. So check those out. And those three I mentioned non-top 10 are top 10 worthy. There's just only 10 spots, right? Let me see what else. I'm trying to rack my brain a little bit. I mean, even just I think I mentioned this here and there, but you know, when you're doing so much in so relatively short of a time period, it's good to mix things up. So like I, you know, for example, I went to Mimsy's out in Crockett. I don't think I ate barbecue. I ate a lot of I ate a burger and dessert and fried green tomatoes, which is great. That stuff like that. Like I had a pastrami sandwich at Mom's in Austin. That was, it was excellent. You know, just as good as anything you'll find in New York for the most part.
Well, you mentioned the ribeye, right? Like that's the cool thing is there's so many of these places that, that do incredible barbecue, but they also have some really fun one-offs.
Yeah. A lot of them are like weekly specials. On this day of the week, they'll do that. So I planned my visits around that, sort of like, I got to go to Bar A on a Sunday because I want to try that ribeye.
Yeah. Well, again, you know, that's what the Excel spreadsheet's there for, brother.
Yeah. Yeah. And then even like Burbine, I've been there a couple of times before this last passport. And then my family actually came to visit. So they wanted to try something different besides L.A. and California and whatever. So we went to Central Texas. We went to my nephew's in the basketball. So we went to go see Wembanyama play. And
there you go.
Yep. And then I was surprised. I was like, I'm going to go get that breakfast at Burbine because it was amazing. Mm-hmm. Last time I went, and I knew I could convince my brother to do it, but I was surprised. My 16-year-old nephew was like, "Yeah, I'm coming," and I was like, "Wow, really? You're gonna wake up at 6 a.m.?" And he did. He was ready to go. And so this time around, I ate it for regular lunch service, not breakfast. So
I think Wimby Wimby needs a contract with Burnt Bean. Put a little weight on him.
Yeah,
he's pretty thin.
He is, but he might like it too much and not be in it.
Yeah, then he might get fat. We can't do
that. Yeah, who knows, right? Yeah.
You know, so funny enough, I had a went to Burnt Bean, waited in line, got inside. And as you know, and I told this story a couple of weeks ago, but from the door to the counter is, you know, 20, 30 feet before you get there. And they've got their big blackboard of all of their stuff over there that's all cordoned off. This one of the employees walked over to me and she's like, "Hey, you're really tall. Can I borrow you? Because I'm 6'4". She's like, can I borrow you for a second?" I'm thinking, sure, I don't know what it is, but, you know, sounds good. So she undoes the stanchion. I walk over there. She hands me a piece of blue tape and says, "I need you to cross that out."
Oh.
I'm like, wait a second. Hold on. Now I'm the villain? Like, I'm the bad guy? Luckily, it wasn't brisket or ribs, or I might have caused a riot. And so I turned around to everyone in line and I'm like, "Hey, sorry, guys." And then I put the tape over. It was some special, you know, it wasn't anything crazy. And everyone booed me. So I felt really good about it.
You're a wrestling fan. That's called
heel. Yeah, I was a heel. I was absolutely a wrestling heel at that point.
Hey, do your job.
Yeah. If I had to cover up the brisket, I would have run. I can promise you that. I would not have.
I remember from my visit this past time, I thought so, you know, there weren't that many specials. I think a lot of them were more on the weekend, but they had the chicken drumstick that day. That was great. And it was actually pretty cheap. I think it's like only like, I could be wrong or refresh my memory, but I thought it was only like $6.50 a pound or something. Mm-hmm. And it's not these like malnourished chickens where the drumstick is
like turkeys.
Yeah, it's not like it's like a turkey drumstick at Disney World or whatever. It's not like one of these chickens where it's like the drumstick as big as your finger. Like, what is this? So yeah, that was really good. I think it was like $2.50, $3, something like that. I was like, "What? That's it?" Yeah, and it was delicious. So there still are some bargains to be had here and there sometimes.
All right, last thing. Do you have the spreadsheet yet for 29?
No, I talk about efficiency. I don't even know what's going to be on it. So I'll take it as it comes.
Okay.
Plus, I think from the time they release the list to the time, like you're, you know, the quote unquote promotion starts, it's like a few weeks. So, I was actually with the family in Hawaii when the list came out around late May. So I was able to finally find it online. And then I started mapping things out there. So I spent a little time doing that. Not a crazy amount of time, but the time.
Hey, that's what it's all about. It's about efficiency, and you are the king of efficiency and the first man to get the top 50.
It's funny. I met the guy who did it first last time, and because he's friends with my friend Dr. Tom, and I was like, "Oh, we kept it in the extended crew, I guess." This quote unquote title of the first. I was like, "It wasn't my intention, man," and my body's definitely not happy about it for the but. So I was like, "Yeah, man, I think this is my one and only time trying to do it this fast. I would probably spread it out next time a little more at least." And I was like, "You can have the title back next time." He's like, Never again, dude.
So once you're first, you're always first. So
yeah,
you
can I guess now so. But I think that's probably a one time thing. I'll probably do a blend of efficiency and spreading it out next time. Assuming,
yeah, I did a celebrity crawfish eating contest one time here in Shreveport, and it was who can eat 5 pounds the fastest. And what I came to find out is I don't like eating fast. I like enjoying my food.
Yeah,
and me so. Too. Yeah, so I ate 5 pounds as fast as I could. I think I came in fourth, and I was miserable for the next 5 hours and decided I would never do it again. If I'm eating 5 pounds of crawfish, which I can easily handle, I'm going to take my time, enjoy myself. Brother, congratulations on getting the top 50 done, being number one. I hope you get a trophy of some kind in addition to your cool refrigerator and stuff. Like, I hope you, at least if nothing else, make yourself a plaque. Right, that you can put on the wall, something like that, because that's a hell of an accomplishment, no doubt about it.
This will memorialize it enough, I think, these podcasts.
Okay, well, that's beautiful.
It's funny that I was like, oh yeah, someone's going to interview on a podcast, and it's not about accounting, thankfully, for everybody.
I mean, we can, you know, if you want to get into some whatever the T-note is for a, no, I don't know.
If you want this to get a little more traction on the podcast.
Hey, I need both the barbecue nerds and the accounting nerds to tune into this one. All right. We gotta hit both fan bases.
That's a pretty rare Venn diagram.
Yeah. No doubt. That's just two circles next to each other.
Little tick that I know, me. Yeah.
Brett, thank you, brother. Much appreciated.
All right. Thank you for having me. Take care. All the best.
Big thanks to Brett Kawada for joining us. Just an incredible story. A guy who started in Hawaii, lives in California, and finds himself in Texas and just decides, you know what? I've completed the last two lifts. I'm going to complete this one and do it in record time, basically. He became the first guy to complete the Texas Monthly Top 50 list. A fascinating guy, if ever there was one. All right, it's time to talk a little bit about our smoke. The smoke is our viewer or listener mailbag. So if you are someone who wants to comment on what we've got going on or ask a question of us, we would love to hear from you. Multiple ways to do that. Find us at the BBQ Hound on all of our social medias. You can comment on our posts on either on the podcast side or on the YouTube channel. Make sure you subscribe to your favorite podcast site, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon, whatever. Make sure you're subscribed there and at the YouTube channel if you'd rather watch what we have going on as opposed to listening to it. We have a lot of response from this week, but I have to tell you a quick story, funny story about what went down on Reddit. You may remember that we've talked about giving away shirts here on the Barbecue Hound, and we are doing that. We're actually going to give those away next week, probably a couple of them. And it's not a super convoluted process. Just retweet or share the post and tag a couple of people in it, right? And just make sure that you're subscribed to one of our channels. All you have to do to potentially win a shirt. And again, like I said, we'll be doing that coming up here in the next week. But I went ahead and posted on Reddit on a bunch of the different barbecue forums on Reddit and had some hilarious reaction to it. We'll get to the mean one last, but the first one that we had was, there's one guy who said, who is Patrick Netherton? I don't know if that's just a guy doesn't know who I am, or is that like a philosophical question of who is Patrick Netherton? I don't know. That's a question I ask myself quite a bit during the course of the last 48 years or so. Who is Patrick Netherton? I'm not 100% sure. Also had one from a guy who said, what about those of us who do not have Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram? Can I just get a t-shirt sent to me? And I said, look, you asked nicely. I'll put you in the drawing. Even if you don't have the shares and the, you know, the retweets and all of that stuff, that was fine. And then my favorite comment came from a guy named Huffbuffer on Reddit who said, that's a lot to do for a t-shirt of a guy I've never heard of. And I'm not going to lie, you know, that's partially tough to hear, right? It's a little you know, kind of gets you right in the feels a little bit. But look, I've been in this business a long time. If you're in the media business and you can't handle someone coming after you, you are absolutely in the wrong business. So I had a good laugh about that. That was a terrific troll job. Look, a lot of people don't know who the heck I am, especially in the world of barbecue. I've been in media in Shreveport, Louisiana for nearly 30 years, but the barbecue venture is a little bit new, so I certainly understand some people not really knowing who I am. So hopefully throughout the course of this show, people will figure out who I am. Hey, don't forget you can email us at patrick@thebbqhound.com, patrick@thebbqhound.com. You can also text or leave a voicemail on our line, 318-6570-HAM, 318-6570-426. That's a great way to get in touch with us. And as a matter of fact, we had a text message that I would like to read to you. It comes from comes from Johnny, actually. Johnny says, here's a question for the smoke. What's the deal with Texas beans? It's clearly superior in all ways, but the beans are very mid. And obviously he's saying that Texas barbecue, brisket, ribs, all that stuff is very superior, but what's the deal with the beans? Yeah, beans are so divisive, it seems like, right? Should there be beans in your, what do you put in it? Do you put brisket in there in your beans? Do you use pinto beans? Do you use a smaller bean, a refried bean, right? It's such a divisive topic, it seems like. I tend to like more of the smaller pork and bean style beans, right? I'm not as big a fan of the pintos. And I tend to like my beans to be a little on the sweeter side. I mentioned an episode or two ago that Riverport Barbecue in Jefferson has my favorite beans. They put brisket in them. It's, again, a smaller, you know, pork and bean style bean, and it is incredible. A little bit of sweetness to it, a little bit of savory, a little bit of kick. That's my favorite bean. Personally, my favorite beans as a side. So, yeah, I just think it's such a wide variety of what you get that it makes it a little difficult. Some people like a good spicy, you see a lot of spicy pinto style beans with a thinner sauce. Sometimes you'll see like the pork and beans with a thicker sauce. I think it just varies. If you find a place that has a bean you like, by all means, continue to go there. And that's why I like Riverport Barbecue in Jefferson, because the beans are absolutely spectacular. All right, let's go to a comment on last week's show with Sunbird Barbecue over in Longview, Brian Bingham and Dave Segovia. @duty_calls30 said, great story on how they got started. Yes, it is definitely a lot easier to dig in and go that extra mile and try to figure it out when you have a partner or teammate. I also loved your hypothetical question on who would win if dropped in a cooking show and their go-to meals. Well, thank you, Duty Calls. We appreciate that. That is something we strive to do, is ask some good questions. I don't want it to be just your run-of-the-mill type stuff. I want to challenge these guys a little bit. I want to have them tell us a little bit about what they've got going on. That's the kind of stuff I love. And finally, our last question or our last comment on the smoke this week comes from Instagram. Again, all our social media is @TheBBQHound, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Go follow along, tell your friends, share that out if you don't mind. Harold Pitmasters on Instagram says, great interview. Some of my favorite barbecue is in the 903. That's East Texas, obviously. And Dave Segovia talked about the 903 mafia, so to speak. Said, some of my favorite barbecue is in the 903. Haven't made it to Sunbird yet, but I will someday. Yeah, get over to Sunbird, man. There is some really good barbecue going down in East Texas. So get over there. Mimsy's in Crockett, Brendan's in Nacogdoches, East Texas Rust, Sunbird in Longview, Riverport in Jefferson. The Bodacious in Hallsville is also very good. And even, you even have a couple of different places that aren't necessarily Straight Barbecue that are doing some really good work over there as well. So definitely make sure that you go pick up Barbecue in East Texas and go and tell those folks that that you're supportive of them, because they are continuing to do good work. And I'm really proud to see what East Texas has developed in terms of barbecue. All right, that's it for this week's episode of The Barbecue Hound with Patrick Netherton. Thank you for all your questions, your comments, and please continue to write in. Please continue to share. Please continue to subscribe. Tell all your friends. We want to continue to grow and get better, and your input and your help helps us do that. So thank you for joining us this week. We'll see you next week on The Barbecue Hound with Patrick Netherton.